Hello and welcome to The Preservationists, the monthly radio show for fans of local historic architecture, the history of unique buildings, and the people from our community working to preserve and restore them. I'm Astronomist Ray, the host of The Preservationists. Thank you for tuning in. Today, we're turning our attention to one of the region's most valuable historical resources, the Lisa Penner Research Center and Archives, located within the Clatsop County Heritage Museum. The archives contain an extraordinary collection of photographs, journals, maps, records, and personal histories that help tell the story of Clatsop County and the people who shape it. I'd first like to introduce my guest today, Lisa Penner, longtime archivist and the namesake of the research center itself. Through her work preserving local history and making it accessible to researchers, families, students, and the broader community, Lisa has helped ensure that these stories are not lost to time. Lisa, thank you for joining me today. To begin, can you tell a little bit of our listeners about the history of how all of this started? How long have you been interested in archiving?
I sort of jumped into the whole thing. I was taking classes at Clatsop College in art. I've always been interested in art, but I've never taken classes in it before. And I wanted to do something really different than what I'd been doing because I had spent a number of years at the University of Oregon and finally got a master's degree and then didn't know what to do. My husband was looking for work because we decided to move from Eugene. So we came to Astoria and he found a job right away. So I was really tired of regular classes trying to get that degree. And I thought I'd try to take something fun and that would be art. So I started taking art classes at the college. And I had a lot of artwork and I wanted to figure out how to take care of it. And so I took a class in art preservation from Judy Bird. And Judy was working here at the Historical Society. Historical Society had the Flavelle House and the Carriage House. They decided to take over this building. And the Maritime Museum had been in here, but they had put up their new building and they moved. So the space was open. The Historical Society decided to move its archives in here. So Judy Bird was in charge of that. And she had some other help and all. But we had glass cases all over the room upstairs, just full of items. And we didn't know, you know, one thing for another, from another, you know. A lot of things had numbers on them, but a lot didn't. So it was a big project of trying to put numbers on things and to describe them, because the numbers tell us who it was who donated it and gave us some history to the objects. So that was our big first project, and then try to find storage places for it. And fortunately, the Heritage Museum has lots of storage space. Not enough. Now, this has been years and years later, and we've had a lot of people bringing in things for us. We could use more space.
Yes.
But it's still at the same time, we're asking people to donate their old books and photos and, you know, things that tell about the history of the county.
Yeah, absolutely. And looking back from when you first started to now, how has the research center evolved over time? Was it always small or was it always something that expanded? Like, what was the goal when you first went into hosting the research center?
Well, I think at first it was just to be able to, you know, identify things and figure out what they were. And then once we got things put in place, there was a magazine that the Historical Society had been doing. And the man who was editing the magazine had passed away. And he was a good friend. And we had done a lot of research together for the Genealogy Society. Yeah. We're both very active in that. And so with the work that I did in the Genealogy Society, I made lots of indexes. We had a project, a cemetery project. We went out to the different cemeteries and copied out the names of the people buried there. When we got that project pretty much done, I was still going to the meetings and started coming to the Historical Society. And Judy Bird, who had taught the class, got me started in transcribing a journal. And the journal is one of the most interesting things in this whole building. It was started in about 1860.
Oh, wow.
by a man who came across the plains in the 1860s. And he described the journey. And it's fascinating. So I spent a lot of time transcribing it.
Yeah.
And Judy said, well, we need to print out the census that we would have, know more about these people. So I got a copy of the census and typed out the information and went to the library and got information from the library and the newspaper index. I ended up getting hooked.
Yeah, naturally, yeah. And I'm sure with all those stories that you start to uncover, they kind of just pull you in a little bit. Because when you hear, like, these stories that you're transcribing, what is that like for you to, like, uncover it in real time like that?
Oh, it's fun. It's almost like being transported to the past.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, that's because really there's a lot of emotion, too, in the journal. And a lot of funny stories.
Yeah, and with some of your work that you do here, you had mentioned to me earlier that you do the Comtex magazine.
Yeah.
For listeners that may not be familiar with what Comtex is, it's a quarterly newsletter from the Clatsop County Historical Society?
Yes, it is.
What type of stuff can we find in that?
What I really wanted for the magazine was to get people's stories. And I was really fortunate when I started working with the Comtex. Mm-hmm. That there were a lot of old-timers around, people who wanted to preserve their stories. And so they would write them out and, you know, give them to me, and I just type them up and put them in the magazine. And in the early days, it was cut and paste.
Definitely changed.
But fortunately, we had a printer who could put it into, you know, better form.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I didn't have to worry about that too much.
Now, when we think about your day-to-day work that you do here, what's it like surrounding yourself with so many stories from the past on a daily basis? Because I'm sure over the years, you have probably learned a lot about history, as well as people in the community. So what is that feeling like for you?
Doing the magazine, there have been so many stories in the past and so many different stories. The one that really kind of got to me was written by a man whose father had passed away and mother married again. And the man that she married was a socialist. Well, she wasn't, but he was. And he was determined that the family was to go to Russia. And the wife refused, and they ended up, well, she stayed here, and he went to Russia. Then he just disappeared. They didn't know what happened to him. And for year after year after year, finally more material was coming out in print about the experiences of the people who had gone to Russia in those communes. Many of them had been killed. Finally, he found something with his stepfather's name in it, how he had been killed.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a really sad story. But there were many of them like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are also people who went there and managed to escape and come back. And the Humasty family is one, and we've had their story in the Comtex.
And what's interesting is when you tell that story, sometimes people go looking for that history because it may be connected to their families. What we're able to preserve what their life was like almost through articles and these stories that we have here in the research center in a way.
I just find it fascinating that there's so many different experiences that people have, the families. The Genealogy Society took on a project of documenting the cemeteries. We each took a project, a separate cemetery, and we each completed the cemetery. Oh. We ended up with a number of books on our cemeteries, and we sold those and put them into libraries so that we would have that permanent record somewhere. Finding it really interesting, the different kinds of lives that families, you know, people have.
And when we think about beginning research like that, this research center is a great place for people to start. if you're somebody that just is getting into research and let's say you wanted to take a deep dive into your past family or maybe where you live, even like who lived in the house before you, this research center can kind of help guide people to do that.
What I usually tell people, well, people here in Astoria, is to look at the newspaper index. So it was started at the library by Bruce Verney. I mean, he kept at it for so many years. And now things are a little different because they can scan the newspapers and you can do a search. And it's a lot easier. But it has been probably one of the best sources of getting information about families. So I always tell people to look at the newspaper index. But now we have a project here, and Julie Burpee, who works here, has been on the project. Yeah, she's the one who did it. It's just an immense project. She had a couple of people on her team working on it with her, and they just thousands and thousands of cards, and they have them scanned, and they're on our website. Anybody could look at that as long as you have the internet, look at the list, read the articles.
Nice. That's really nice. So it's like an internet archive.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's have great. The newspapers at the library.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the actual things there. Yeah.
And they're on microfilm.
Nice.
But they're very fragile, and the old newspapers just can fall apart.
Yeah. And that's one thing that I did want to touch base on is, you know, with some of these documents, if you get something from the 1800s, I imagine some of the conditions may not always be the best. How do you go about keeping those items intact and preserving certain journals? Like, is there a certain method that you use, or do you just like use it with delicacy?
Sometimes we photocopy them or we index them. And we have a whole big section of books of indexes. And actually, it's really kind of fun. Mm-hmm. It's really a relaxing thing to do, to sit and type, you know, names out from a book.
Where do these items come from? Like, where do you find these journals? Do people just bring them into you? How is everything obtained here?
The items are donated to us. Some items are on loan.
And when you say on loan, does that mean like they'll give it to you for a certain amount of time?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They do that. They also bring in photos on loan. And photos are really the biggest interest. Most of the people who walk through the door are looking for a photo. Maybe a photo of their house or their family or some project they're working on.
Do you initially take the books and scan them in and then do some research? What is that process like when
those occur? Probably different, you know, for everybody that comes in because they have different expectations. And we always ask, is this a loan or is it a donation? Then we have different ways of handling both.
Over the years, has there been anything kind of unusual or like really interesting that has been brought to you that like maybe like an artifact or something along those lines?
Well, I was just looking there behind you, but we have some police records that are interesting.
And it's a huge book, too.
And they're old police records.
Yeah.
So to me, that's, you know, much more interesting.
Yeah. We have photographs. There's journal entries from people. And this is from people in the past and everything. Is there any specific research that people come in and look at particularly with these items?
Well, some people are really interested in maps. And we have a big collection of maps. The Sanborn maps are enormous, and they're heavy. We have them over there.
Yeah. And for our listeners, just to give context, can you kind of explain a little bit about what a Sanborn map is?
A Sanborn map? Mm-hmm. Well, it's by blocks, several blocks on a page. And it has the streets and the cross streets. So people like to look that up and see. Ones that we have are different dates. And so you can see if a house was not there at a certain time and then, you know, if it's there later. So the maps are really popular.
Yeah, that's interesting to know. So a lot of the stories that people come in for, the reasons that people come in, is it just more of common interest or do you feel like a lot of people come in maybe to connect with family or the area around them? Like, what do you feel people come in for?
Well, I think there's one case that is probably typical. There's a man and his father are coming here because his grandfather was a minister of a church. Where is the church?
Yeah.
And what does it look like? And where did he live? The father went to school here, and they want to know where is the school?
Yeah.
And they want to see. Well, unfortunately, the school is gone, but it was directly across the street. And the church was just a couple blocks over and another couple blocks over. Yes, we have the city directories. They are so useful because you just look up a name and there's an address.
We'll return to our interview with Lisa Penner of the Lisa Penner Research Center, located in the Clatsop County Heritage Museum, in just a moment. But first, I'd like to invite you to this month's Topics in Preservation. Topics in Preservation is a monthly discussion and conversation hosted by the Lower Columbia Preservation Society, LCPS. This month, join us on Wednesday, May 20th at 6 p.m. at the LCPS headquarters on 591 12th Street in the basement level of our headquarters. This month, Bob Clay will be talking a little bit about craftsman homes, where we take a look into the architectural craftsman style and the legacy of craftsman homes in Astoria. This event is free and open to the public. For more information, visit www.lcpsociety.org, and we hope to see you there. If you're just tuning in, this is a KMUN original, The Preservationist, hosted by Astronomist Ray. And today we're interviewing Lisa Penner of the Lisa Penner Research Center.
Over the years, we've collected dozens of indexes to all kinds of records.
Yeah.
And you just have to be patient and, you know, one record after the next record after the next record.
Yeah. What is that personal connection that makes you want to find out history?
We didn't really know our history, our family, because we didn't even live with family for several years. We lived with other people. When my father gave me a book of research that he had done, I just went on the deep end.
Yeah.
And I was so much into that that I have a whole room full of my research on my family.
It is really awesome to drive into these projects and everything. Over the years, do you have a favorite project that you've worked on or a favorite article that you've written for context at all?
Had an article that turned out to be kind of a problem because for me it was interesting. My interest for some reason started run into I don't know, I read something and it's kind of odd and I think I don't know about that and I think I gotta go check that out.
Yeah, where it's kind
of and then I go onto the internet and I go onto our website here and I go to the library or you know, and start pulling out all these little pieces of things. And it's fun, really. It's a kind of an adventure to see what you come up with.
Yeah.
And this one thing, it was so far out of anything that I'd ever done before. It was on a family that owned a cannery, and not a cannery, it was a salt, a fish salting place.
Okay.
And I got so much into trying to follow along on the history of that place because it was a Jewish family, and they had businesses all over the world, practically. And they sent two of the younger boys in the family here to start up something. And the two boys, they were the younger boys in the family. And they did it great. You know, they really built up the business. And they ended up going to Alaska and with the business. And then the whole thing collapsed.
Yeah,
after doing it for years and years and years, they started not being as careful as they used to be.
Right.
So anyway, I spent a lot of time on that.
Yeah. Well, that's all fun and everything. Yeah, as we uncover some of these stories. Now, when we think about people in the community that come in, how is it that we access the research center? I saw that it was by appointment only. So what can we expect when we schedule a visit to see the research center?
one of the main things is that if somebody wants to come in and to learn about their family or some fishing or logging or whatever it is, to let us know ahead of time exactly what it is that they want to know. Yeah. Because when they come in just cold and say, oh, this is what I want, and Julie is a great help too, because she really knows what we have here. I mean, you know, she's been here now for a few years, and she's really smart. Mm-hmm. So she really has picked up on it. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, you know, we say, well, maybe we should look in the scrapbooks.
Yeah.
You know, that might be a project place. Yeah. Or, our census records or something. Yeah. And so we have access to all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So we can just sort of tailor it to whatever the question is. Mm-hmm.
And with that being said, I know you mentioned some of the stuff that you have here to offer. Is there any hidden gems that you've uncovered over the years that, you know, somebody would see and say, I've never even known that this was something that could exist?
Oh.
Is there any? Because you guys have just about everything here.
I don't know. Everything, you know, from birth to death, we have.
Yeah.
And burials.
Yes, I know.
There's a little bit of everything.
What would you say to somebody who has never done research before? Do you have any tips or tricks or anything that's been helpful for you in your experience over time?
I've had people come in and say that they're, you know, interested in finding out something. And then, but they won't spend enough time. They don't stay.
Yeah,
they're just kind of scratching off the surface. And,
right.
And
being able to take that deep dive into
it. But, if you really dive into it and all these books, you never know what you're going to find. Because we have a very odd collection. What we have is, as the saying is, you know, we were on our way to the dump and we thought of you.
That's great.
You know, that way we get some of the best stuff.
Yes, that's very true.
Really, the best books and, you know, records and photos and whatever. Yeah.
And if somebody wanted to donate maybe some items to the research center, like let's say they have some old books or, you know, for some reason, some type of interesting research, how do they go about doing that?
About getting people to...
Yeah, like let's say I have like journals from like 100 years ago. What would I do with them if I wanted to, you know, just drop them off, or do you have a process?
Fortunately, we have a really good way to handle that kind of thing, because we have the scanner now, so we can scan a document or a book, and. And then we have that.
Yeah.
So then we can just give the original back to the person.
That's good. Yeah, so that way you don't have a bunch of loose pages.
Right.
Yeah.
And the scanned documents take up a lot less space
than a whole
big book would.
That's
you know, you
very
can tell
true.
By all those big books behind you.
Yes, but they pile up the shelf. You can never have too much bookshelf space.
Right.
Yeah. What do you hope that the future generations will gain from the work being done here at the Research Center?
I hope that they will understand that it is possible to find the information. Mm-hmm. You just have to keep looking hard enough, and you have to be, you know, see what all we have, because there is a whole... you know, as I said, a lot of these things just walk into the door, you know, with someone and say, hey, do you want this?
Yeah.
And, you know, it almost any kind of record might be some help to someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it just takes time, you know.
And then when we think about who typically uses the Research Center, do you see more casual visitors, students, professional historians, community members?
Oh, we see quite a variety of people. Yeah, we never know who's going to come in through that door.
Yeah.
And, Yeah, we get some people who are really seriously, interested in a subject, and will just pursue it to no ends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then as the people who just come in and, you know, look around and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure you get a good variety, which is always kind of nice.
Yeah, it depends a lot, too, on the subject that you choose.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. It's like you said, you have to, you know, go beyond just scratching the surface and actually take a deep dive into researching. So.
Yes. And you know, we can sort of sense if somebody really wants that information.
Yeah.
And if we sense that they are really serious, we will really try hard to find something, you know, good for them.
Exactly. And if you were to have our listeners take away one thing about this research center, what would it be?
I would say that come in and walk around and pick up records and look at them and look at our maps and ask, you know, what else do we have? Because we'd be happy to show anyone around and help them try to get started in their research.
Is there anything else you would like to share with our listeners or anything that you wish more people knew about researching?
Well, I like to see people come in the door.
Yeah.
And I like to encourage them to look and see, because it can be so much fun to start working on a project and then start making some gains.
Yes.
And
Is there anything that you would like to leave our listeners with to think about with research?
Anybody can do research. You can be a grade school kid and come in and do research. It just depends upon how much you're willing to put into it.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much to my guest this month, Lisa Penner, for joining me on The Preservationist. I truly appreciate you taking the time to share with our listeners about the work, stories, and importance of the Lisa Penner Research Center and Archives and the ongoing effort to preserve the history and memory of our region. Thank you for tuning into this episode of The Preservationist. I'm Astronomist Ray with...
Hello, Lisa Penner.
You have been listening to The Preservationist on KMUN. Thank you to my guest this month, Lisa Penner, for joining me to talk about the Lisa Penner Research and Archive Center here in Astoria, Oregon. Thank you for tuning in to this month's episode. Be sure to join us again next month. The Preservationist airs every third Tuesday of the month on KMUN at 9:30 a.m. I'd also like to give a special thanks to the team here at KMUN, as well as the members, volunteers, and staff of the Lower Columbia Preservation Society, LCPS. And a special thanks to Camila Swerdloff for producing the theme song of The Preservationist. The Preservationist is a production of the Lower Columbia Preservation Society for KMUN. Written and produced by Astronomist Ray. I'm Astronomist Ray, and remember, preservation is about more than saving buildings or documents. It's about protecting the stories that connect us to one another and to the communities we call home. When it comes to preservation, anyone can be a preservationist. Thank you for listening.